Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. The Richland School Board held a productive session Wednesday night, reaching several key decisions regarding district property and staffing. In a significant move for the future of the district, the board formally agreed to the purchase of part of the campus property and the assumption of the Land and Water Conservation Fund grant. This project has already been approved by the county board. The issue now heads to the Richland Center City Council for final approval. Student fees have been eliminated for this school year in the Richland School District, other than for extracurricular activities such as activity passes, band uniform fees, and sports fees. The meeting also highlighted the continued support of the community and various organizations. The board expressed its gratitude as all presented donations were officially accepted, including significant contributions from the Richland School District Foundation and the Richland Center Athletic Booster Club. These gifts will provide vital funding for district programs and activities in the coming school year. Staffing for the 2026-27 school year was another primary focus, with the board successfully filling several key vacancies. New appointments were confirmed for positions in alternative education and elementary writing, along with the hiring of a new second grade teacher. These additions ensure the district remains well prepared to welcome students back in the fall with a full complement of educators. There was an open enrollment update given as well. The Richland School District will begin the school year with more students than they had at any point last year. The Richland Center City Plan Commission recently addressed several significant land use and zoning matters affecting the community. One key item involved the proposed conveyance of city-owned property at 929 West Seminary Street to Lydia's House Ministries. The commission recommended approval of this transfer to the city council, finding that the continued operation of the site as a transitional housing shelter aligns with the residential designation of the future land use map. Because the facility has operated continuously since before 1990, the commission determined it constitutes a legal non-conforming use, meaning no further zoning changes are required for the transfer to proceed. In addition to the property conveyance, the commission reviewed a proposed amendment to Chapter 485 of the Code of Ordinances regarding electronic message center signs on public property. This amendment seeks to authorize these signs for governmental and educational entities while establishing clear performance standards for brightness, display duration, and residential buffering. While the proposal aims to close a current gap in the sign code that affects facilities like the Brewer Public Library, the commission recommended this to the City Council for approval. Finally, the commission considered a comprehensive draft ordinance designed to modernize the city's residential zoning. The proposal would repeal Chapters 402 and 403 to create a unified R1 and R2 single and two-family residential district. A major component of this update is the introduction of standards for owner-occupied accessory dwelling units, which are intended to provide flexible housing options while maintaining neighborhood character. Similar to the discussion on sign amendments, this ordinance was the subject of significant debate. No formal action was taken during the session, and the commission expects further review and revisions in future meetings. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation has launched an inquiry into a fatal officer-involved shooting that occurred in Madison's Marquette neighborhood yesterday. The incident began around 1 p.m. when four officers from the Madison Police Department responded to reports of an individual allegedly checking parked vehicles. When officers attempted to make contact, the subject fled the area on a bicycle. Law enforcement reestablished contact with the subject at approximately 1:35 p.m. near the intersection of South Baldwin and Williamson Streets. A physical altercation broke out during the encounter, and officials state the subject brandished a knife, resulting in an injury to one of the responding officers. while another officer attempted to subdue the subject using a taser. The deployment was unsuccessful. The injured officer then discharged their firearm, striking the individual. A knife was later recovered from the scene by investigators. Emergency medical services were called to the scene and rendered life-saving measures before transporting the subject to a local hospital, where he was ultimately pronounced deceased. In addition to the officer wounded by the knife, a second officer sustained injuries during the struggle. Both have since been treated and released from medical care. Following standard agency policy, all four responding officers are cooperating with the Division of Criminal Investigation and have been placed on administrative leave. DCI is currently leading the investigation with support from multiple regional agencies and will submit its final report to the Dane County District Attorney's Office upon completion. On Monday, a fatal crash occurred on I-90 westbound near Highway 12 in Sauk County. An SUV and a pickup truck, both traveling eastbound, collided, causing the pickup truck to cross the median into westbound lanes, where it struck two semi-units. The pickup truck's driver, 76-year-old Terry Neidiger of Springfield, Illinois, sustained fatal injuries, while one of the semi-drivers was treated for minor injuries. Westbound lanes of the interstate remained closed for approximately 6 hours following the collision. The Wisconsin State Patrol is investigating the incident as a hit and run, as the driver of the SUV fled the scene in a separate vehicle. Anyone who witnessed the crash is asked to contact the Wisconsin State Patrol. The Plane, Fire, and EMS 3-day celebration will be held this Friday through Sunday at Plain Community Park. Featured at the event will be live music by Best Practice on Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock. Saturday at 10 o'clock will be the Travis Stanichka Memorial Volleyball Tournament. A beanbag tournament gets underway at 1 o'clock, and Road Crew will perform beginning at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, there will be a circus parade at 11 o'clock, and a chicken barbecue will be served starting at noon. At 1 o'clock, Leather and Lace will take the stage and a children's pedal pole will be held. All weekend, there will be softball tournaments, carnival rides, inflatables, food, cold beverages, and more. Please, no carry-ins at the Plain, Fire, and EMS 3-day celebration. St. Mary's Hospital nurses have officially moved forward in their fight for fair working conditions and improved patient care following a significant victory. On July 22nd, the National Labor Relations Board Regional Office overruled the objections of SSM Health, certifying a union election for nearly 900 nurses who voted 89% in favor of forming a union this past June. The historic vote marks the largest private sector union election in recent state history. The nurses are now urging SSM Health to drop their ongoing objections and begin productive contract negotiations. Their primary goals include addressing the critical issues of severe understaffing, high turnover, and nurse burnout. According to Medicare data, staffing levels at St. Mary's currently rank last among 7 area hospitals, sitting roughly 40% below the Madison Metro average. Nurses emphasize that their push for unionization is a direct extension of their professional calling to advocate for patients, noting that adequate staffing is essential for safety and quality of care. Drawing inspiration from successful union efforts at UW Health and Mariner, where nurses have secured contracts improving staffing, scheduling, and pay, St. Mary's nurses are eager to build a regional movement for better standards. However, they report that SSM Health has responded to these efforts by utilizing corporate law firms to challenge the results and by actively undermining union organizing within the hospital. Nurses allege that SSM has threatened disciplinary action and confiscated union materials, conduct they argue is contrary to Madison and Wisconsin values as well as Catholic social teaching. Despite these tensions, the nurses maintain that SSM has the capacity to foster a positive, collaborative environment. Financial reports indicate that SSM generated $12.6 billion in operating revenue last year, along with $483 million in profits, while the CEO received a $7.8 million compensation in 2024. Nurses argue that with these substantial resources, SSM should prioritize investing in staff retention and improved patient care rather than spending on anti-union tactics. The city of Hillsborough has issued a transient merchant permit to Spectrum, also known as Charter Communications. This permit allows the merchant the ability for door-to-door sales solicitation. The permit is valid for 30 days. The merchant will have a copy of the permit with them as well to identify themselves. The city of Hillsborough requires all individuals to apply for a transient merchant permit in order to complete door-to-door sales solicitation. Vital statistics right after this.